Greetings and welcome to the Joy of Discovery radio program brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter. It's great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery. I want to thank you for tuning in and joining us. I'd also like to remind you, as I do every week, that if you would desire any of our CDs, they are free. All you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write, be sure to include the date of the program that you desire. And whenever you write, write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. And I will get you that address again at the end of the program. Before we get into the depth of our Bible study, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we gather today around your word, we ask for your blessings. Lord, we ask for the Spirit of God to illuminate your word and help us to understand what it is that we are going to look at today. Lord, give us wisdom, understanding. Lord, might Christ be honored and glorified through what we look at today. And we will thank you for it ahead of time. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, and if you have a Bible, I'm going to ask you to open up to Revelation chapter 18. That's where we shall be today. We have come to chapter 18, and there are a few things that we need to gather together to understand what we are about to study. Last week in our study, we gathered together many pieces from Revelation 17, and we were able to piece some things together. In Revelation 17, we looked at the destruction of religious Babylon. This will be the religious system that will exist at the beginning of the tribulation. This will be the apostate church that will not be included in the rapture because they will profess to know Christ, but really, they were never saved. This group will go into the tribulation. They will be supported by the Antichrist because they will persecute true believers of the tribulation period. So they will be supported by the Antichrist. Revelation 17, 5 and 6 says this, "And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." The Antichrist will hate true believers because just as Satan hates us today, therefore, Satan will work through the Antichrist to support the harlot who will execute those who do not agree with her teaching. Okay, understand that. Satan will use the apostate church to eliminate true believers in the tribulation period. Those who get saved in the tribulation period. This, though, will not last for the entire tribulation. That support from the Antichrist, that's not going to last for the entire tribulation. Because the Antichrist, once he's indwelled by Satan, he will desire the worship which the harlot's receiving. And so God will use 10 kings under the Antichrist to destroy the false worship system. Listen to Revelation 17, 16 and 17. "And the 10 horns which thou sawest," by the way, those are 10 kings, "the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore," and the whore being the apostate church, "these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire, for God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled." I want to read that again. "For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled." So the Antichrist and the 10 kings will believe that they are following their own will, but ultimately they will be following the will of God. The Antichrist will use the destruction of the false worship as well as his own counterfeit resurrection to win the favor of Israel. He will do all he can to lure them in and get them to drop their guard so that he can then destroy them. That's one of his missions, to destroy the nation of Israel. You say, why is that? Because the promise of the kingdom and the promise of the earthly return of Christ are both made to the nation of Israel. So he believes if he can eliminate Israel, then Christ won't return, the kingdom won't be set up, and so he can rule the earth forever. That's his desire. So he's going to do everything he can to lure Israel in to get them to drop their guard. So as he attacks and destroys the false worship system, he's going to claim to be the Messiah whom Israel will be looking for. And this combined with his resurrection, the counterfeit resurrection, is going to deceive many. It will be then that he will set himself up in the temple and claim to be God. You remember, it's in Matthew, but it's also 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 4 through 10. Listen to this. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth or what restrains that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth or he who now restrains will restrain until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, who the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him his coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them to perish. Let me take a moment here and remind you of something very important. When the church is raptured away, when it's raptured out of the world, it will create a huge vacuum. That vacuum will be filled by demonic activity and the worship of the false system. The apostate church will slide into the void and will be fueled by demons during the first half of the tribulation period. Now let me make you an application with that. There is a vacuum in our world today due to the fact that God has been removed from so many areas. People don't stop to think that that creates a vacuum. Revelation 12, 43 through 45, or Matthew 12, 43 through 45, say this, when the unclean spirit is going out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return unto my house and from whence I came out. When he's come, he findeth empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he in and take with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also in this wicked, unto this wicked generation. When there is something removed, it creates a vacuum. Our nation has removed God. And so the vacuum has been filled today by demonic influence. This is seen in our schools. It's seen in our government. And I mean, we could go on and on about that. The principle is also true in our lives. When a believer drifts away from God, you can be sure the vacuum will be filled with something that will appeal to the desires of the flesh. So be careful. Be very careful. But let me get you back to the context. When the church is gone, there will be a vacuum. And the apostate church will slide in, fueled by demons, it will slide in and fill that vacuum. A very frightening thought. Let me get you back to Revelation 17. This destruction of religious Babylon will take place at the middle of the tribulation. And after this happens, one system will exist. This will be the commercial system. The Antichrist will rule this system, and he will also be the center of worship. Now, let me tell you what is behind the destruction of religious Babylon and Satan's plan. We have talked much about how Satan is a counterfeiter. He will counterfeit the covenant which God promised Israel in the Old Testament. Daniel 9, 24 through 27. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with flood, and unto the end of the war of desolations are determined. Verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. This is talking about the Antichrist. He will confirm it with many of Israel for 1 week. That is 1 week of years, 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make a desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So the Antichrist will counterfeit that covenant, and he will enter into a false covenant with the nation of Israel. That's not all that he will counterfeit. He will counterfeit the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm going to put something together here for you in a minute, so just stay with me. Revelation 13, 3 and 4. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who's like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? So there is the counterfeit resurrection. Whenever the Antichrist receives a deadly wound, Satan then possesses him, causes him to be resurrected, and the whole world wonders after him. Let me tell you what else he will do. He will counterfeit the promised kingdom, the kingdom that was promised to Israel. You see, in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the kingdom that is yet to come at the end of the tribulation period, all worship will be unified. Isaiah 66:23 says this, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Zephaniah 3:9, for them will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. The Antichrist will claim to be God. And so when he unifies the worship in the tribulation period, he will be counterfeiting what God has promised to the nation of Israel. He will counterfeit the resurrection. He will counterfeit the covenant. He will counterfeit the unity that has been promised, the unity in the worship. This, too, is just another way to get Israel to trust him. He will bring worship and government all under his leadership, just as God has promised will happen in the true kingdom. That's what Christ will do. All worship will be under Christ. All government authority will be under Christ. He will rule and reign. That's what the Antichrist is going to try to do in the tribulation period. I want you to see that he's trying to duplicate that kingdom that is yet to come. Along with this counterfeit kingdom will come the promise of economic prosperity, for that is what God promises in the thousand-year reign of Christ. Joel chapter 2, verses 21 through 27, we read this. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and a palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat it in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. That's what's going to happen in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So the Antichrist is going to build his kingdom during the tribulation in an attempt to take over the world, to destroy the nation of Israel by duplicating and counterfeiting all that God has promised in the true kingdom of Christ. That's what he's going to do. And so what we will see is this world, this old world that we live in, moves closer to that time. You will see more and more of this begin to come out. Now, I want you to think with me for a moment of how wise and powerful the Antichrist will be. I should say deceptive and powerful. He will build a world empire during the tribulation. In the midst of the seal judgments and the trumpets, this man will build his kingdom. He will gain the trust and the confidence of the leaders of the world. And in the midst of all that is going on, he will build a very wealthy commercial system. Listen how wealthy this system is. Revelation 18:11-13. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and thine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. This wealthy commercial system will be built while wars, famines, plagues, and death fill the world. The Antichrist will be a man who will know how to handle the leaders of the world. He will be extremely business-minded in the sense that he will know how to make a profit out of just about anything that he touches. With all of that said, start our journey into chapter 18 of the book of Revelation. As we come to Revelation 18, we see the destruction of commercial Babylon. Back in 17 was the destruction of religious Babylon. But here we will see the destruction of commercial Babylon, the commercial system of that day, which, by the way, exists today. Watch the announcement, 18:1. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. Stop there. The very first words of this verse are very important. The words introduce another vision. After these things, they introduce another vision. And I point this out to help you to understand that the destruction John sees in this vision is not the same destruction he described in chapter 17. The destruction of religious Babylon in chapter 17 will happen at the midpoint of the tribulation. It'll be carried out by the Antichrist and the 10 kings under him. The destruction of commercial Babylon in chapter 18 will happen at the end of the great tribulation and will be carried out by God. Most likely the events of chapter 18, which we're about to look at will take place under the seventh bowl judgment. Here's why I say that. Listen to Revelation 16:17-19. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, and such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great, and the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. That's the seventh bowl judgment. That's probably when this unfolds, what we read here in chapter 18. Watch 18:1 again. After these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. This angel is so powerful, his glory will light the entire earth. This verse may be understood better whenever it's set against another verse. Listen to Revelation 16:10. It says, "The fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness." That's the fifth bowl judgment, darkness on the kingdom of the Antichrist, which is the earth. So this angel in Revelation 18 will likely come during that darkness. It says again in 18:1, and after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory, because the earth is in the darkness. Watch 18:2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. It has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. This one-world commercial system will become the holding place for multitudes of fallen angels and demonic spirits. Let me just say that this system exists today, by the way, just as the false religious system exists today. The commercial system is not of the magnitude that it will be during the tribulation, but it still exists, and it's influenced heavily by demonic spirits today. Influenced heavily. I want to share something with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3 and 4. Listen to what Paul says. He says, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan is the god of this world. He is the prince of the power of the air, and he and his demons have far more influence than many understand. Listen to what Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 19 and 20. What say I then, Paul writes, that the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? And the setting for this, let me give you the background a little bit. Paul's writing because there was a question in Corinth about eating meat offered to idols. Was it lawful to eat that meat? So here, Paul's saying this, an idol's nothing. An idol's nothing. And anything sacrificed to an idol's nothing. So if a man, ultimately, he said this, if a man has a clear conscience, he can eat the meat. If he's convicted of it, don't eat it. That's what he says in this letter. But here he says something very interesting in verse 20. Verse 19 again. Let me read it. What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idol is anything? But I say that the things which a Gentile sacrifice to those idols, listen, they sacrifice to devils or demons and not to God. And I would that you should not have fellowship with devils or demons. Now listen to what we get out of that. Demons attach themselves to the idols of this world. Idols that are sold and offered by the commercial system of this world. This is one reason why there's so much addiction in our nation today. Much of it can be attributed to demonic influence. Watch 18:3 again. Or 18:3, it says, and all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Let me get verse 2 again. And he cried with a mighty voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, has become the habitation of devils or demons, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. We'll get back to verse 3 next week, but for today I want you to see that all nations have drunk of the elixir of commercial Babylon. This goes back for thousands of years, but let me just help you to understand how she pours out her elixir into the lives of people. One way is through the television set. I'm not against the TV. I have one. I enjoy certain things that I watch on the TV, not very much, hunting shows or a football game once in a while. But at the same time, I realize that the elixir has come into the lives of many people through the TV. Recently, there's another way, and that's the internet. And I can assure you that the elixir flows through the internet into many lives. That would be through poverty or through pornography, gambling, gaming, many other forms of this elixir that has the world drunk. We got to be so careful. Today, we got to be so careful. My mind goes back to Deuteronomy 20 in the military manual that God gave to Israel. Chapter 20, verses 10 through 15, here's what it says. When thou comest nigh into a city to fight against it, then proclaim peace unto it. It shall be, if it make thee an answer of peace and open to thee, then it shall be that the people that is found therein shall be tributaries unto thee, and they shall serve thee. And if thou will make no peace with thee, but will make war against thee, then thou shalt besiege it. And when the Lord thy God hath delivered it into thine hands, thou shalt smite every male thereof with the edge of the sword. But the women and the little ones and the cattle and all that is in the city, even all the spoil thereof, shalt thou take unto thyself, and thou shalt eat the spoil of thine enemies, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Thus saith the Lord, do unto all the cities. Thus shalt thou do unto all the cities that are very far off from thee, which are not of the cities of these nations. Let me tell you what God told Moses to tell the nation of Israel. There are certain cities, whenever you come to them, you offer peace. If they accept it, then you take them, and you use those people. But if they don't accept the peace, then you go in and you smite every male thereof with the edge of the sword. In other words, what he's saying is this: there, if it's the right, if the city is somebody that will submit to you, then you can use them, and they can be useful. But if not, if they desire to rule over you, then you have to get rid of it. In the same way in life, there are things that can be extremely useful. But if you and I cannot control it, if it wants to control you, like the internet or the TV or whatever, then you're better off without it. You better get rid of it, because it's a part of the commercial system that people get trapped into. I'm out of time today, but I want to thank you for joining us again on the Joy of Discovery radio program. Again, I'll remind you, if you ever want a copy of our CDs, they're free. Just write to us, include the date of the program, and write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we meet around the radio or we see you in church, might you have a blessed week.